You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo, and today we have got a special guest coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Levine will be here in just a moment to talk about the Las Vegas Pipe Show. Y'all have been hearing us talk about this pipe show for several weeks now. We are super excited about it, and we want to do kind of a deep dive into how this came to be, and especially for those of you who may have never been to a pipe show before, what can you expect? And for those of you who are longtime pipe show attendees, what's going to be different this time around? There's nobody better to answer those questions than Brian Levine himself. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and bring him on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my conversation with the one and only Brian Levine. Oh, you're rocking an Ewok mug.
This is the limited edition Star Wars Starbucks Wish You Were There.
Oh, dude. Series. Brian Levine on Country Squire Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, So Brian, first of all, thank you so much for hopping on with me.
You're welcome. I'm just worried that every time it seems like I come on, John David has another baby. So I hope that's not.
Okay, we are not announcing anything right now. So that is not the case so far.
Okay, good. Because I've talked to him. He seems like he's having a good time with diapers and smoke shop stuff.
Yeah,
he doesn't want any more diapers.
That's right. But you will know when that's the case, I'm sure. If we're not announcing anything. Anyway, Brian Levine's here before we get in trouble. Brian, man, thank you so much again for coming on. Look, I want to give obviously we're going to be talking about the Las Vegas Pipe Show. But before we dive into that, longtime listeners of the show are very familiar with you. Of course, you are a titan within the industry from a lot of different angles. But for some of our newer listeners, if somebody's tuning in for the first time, give everybody a very brief, and I know that's going to be difficult, but try to give everybody a very brief run through of your history working in the industry from all the different angles.
So I worked in retail for a while, which included working for a little retail company called Alfred Dunhill of London. I worked in wholesale for a old school wholesale distributor called Hulk O'Rourke that goes way back in time to Max Rohr and Wally Frank. And from that point, that's when I met the folks at Peter Stokeby, including Peter Stokeby, who I worked for. Then I worked for the trade association that represents all the smoke shops. And then after that, I worked for, there was this little tiny internet startup called smokingpipes.com. I wasn't there when they started. And then I was the Brigham Pipes guy for a while. And then, Sutliff Tobacco and McBaron. In my years, I've imported and sold Peterson pipes, Nording pipes, Kamoy pipes, GBD pipes, Brigham pipes, and then I've retailed every other pipe. I estimated that I've touched over 100,000 pipes in the 20 something years now.
I will believe it. I think that if there's like that, you know what, you should actually look into whether or not there's a Guinness World Record for that, because I have a feeling you might be able to qualify somewhere in there.
And on top of that, I have the longest running pipe and tobacco related podcast.
Yes. Some would argue the best podcast on the market.
I don't argue.
We're here
best
to keep you honest, but you know,
best is a perspective.
Well, your perspective is very, very valued, and man, we are so thrilled to have partnered with you over the years in a lot of different collaborations and glean from your wisdom, man. Okay, so this is I want our listeners to really hear this though, because I mean, like you have experienced almost, if not entirely, every single hat there potentially is within the industry. That is someone who has, obviously, you're a pipe smoker yourself and an enthusiast, just personally. You have worked in retail, so that is with the customers. You have worked in kind of in the depths of the industry for manufacturers from the biggest names in the industry. You've also worked in media, specifically with podcasting being an innovator in this space and one of the longest running voice of kind of the enthusiast, and being that bridge in many respects of both industry and enthusiast. You've had the opportunity through the Pipes Magazine podcast to interview some titans of the industry as well, and really showcase people that the normal everyday enthusiast may not have gotten that exposure to.
Beautiful part of the podcast is that I also not only I don't want to, it's not just titans of the industry, it's everybody in the hobby,
right?
Both sides, front and back, new, old, young, tall, small, rich, poor, right. All of them.
Exactly. I mean, like, and you've had some really interesting folks, people who are not, like you said, not just in the industry, but, you know, animators, people who have worked on some really amazing projects that just also happen to be really big pipe smokers.
Emmy Award winners, Grammy Award winners. I do not know if I've had anybody that owns a Oscar. I came really close to a Tony Award winner.
So you haven't EGOTed yet, but you're getting close.
Right. And I have a double platinum recording artist, a single platinum recording artist. I'll add one more thing that I've done that very few people can say they've done. I created a collectible niche within the pipe and tobacco world, the collection of the Disney Tobacchiana stuff, and made Disney pipes a thing of collectible desirability amongst the pipe and tobacco people.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, I have a gift from you of a cigar box in particular that I have in a place of prominence in my cellar. So,
it's holding all those old Pokemon cards, isn't it?
No, you know, all right. My wife actually, all right, this is a complete aside. My wife actually popped in the other day and she said, these Pokemon cards, are we good to like give those away?
Oh,
And I know, so I said, yeah, I mean, like, you know, first of all, I never played the game. They were my kids' Pokemon cards, I swear. But mixed in with the Pokemon cards, you'll appreciate this, was my old school Star Wars collectible card game cards, which were mine from back in the day. And I quickly just hopped on eBay and I was like, man, some of these go for a couple $100. I'm like, well, don't throw them away. Just put them to the side. Let's just appraise them first or something like that.
Yeah. And don't throw those away.
Yeah, we'll just store them in the cigar box, in the Mickey Mouse cigar box that I got from Brian. Man, this is why I think this is important, because you do have this kind of oversight of the industry from a lot of different angles, and you are a man of the people at the exact same time. I want to ask you a question, Brian, if you can. Cast your mind back to the first ever pipe show that you went to. Like, what were you doing in the industry? I'm gonna make you even say the date in terms of when that was or where that was. Can you think about what that first pipe show was for you?
I remember it exactly. It was early October of 2000, and Peter Stokeby told me we need to go to the Richmond Conclave of Richmond Pipe Smokers show in Richmond, Virginia, and we need to, you know, he said, I'm going to be there and you'll staff the table. And I said, okay, what do we want to do? And he talked me through it, and I got, you know, I drove the 4.5 hours up the road, and he flew in, and I spent the weekend trying to keep up with Peter Stokeby, who at that point was in his mid to late 60s. And I was in my early 30s, and, but I had the wonderful moments of Peter Stokeby walking me around and putting his arm around me and introducing me to everybody at the pipe club, and this, you know, this venerated pipe club that had been running for 20 years at that point, and yeah. Peter introducing me as his adopted Italian stepson and his new boss, and that was my first pipe show. And I was like, well, what do I do? And he said, well, just sample stuff and talk to people. I said, okay, that I can do.
Man, talk about a special, that is a unique first experience, to say the least, to kind of get to be taken under the wing of the master, so to speak. Can you think about like, what did it look like? I mean, you know, I've been to, I remember if I think back to like my telecom days back when we just kind of did industry conferences and everything, especially when we were kind of trying to sell new products to all these like boutique news organizations, we would go and we just like pop up these, you know, the cardboard tables and everything, or the card tables and everything, and lay out your wares. And, you know, you got some, you know, a couple of banners here, and now you got monitors everywhere. But I'm kind of curious, what was kind of the, you know, the look, the feel, what was it like then?
It's a lot like they are now. 8-foot tables with, you know, with tablecloths on them, and pipes, accessories, tobaccos, books, anything that might be slightly involved in the pipe and tobacco hobby. It would be retailers selling some wares and offering specials. It might be collectors that have just taken a table to try to sell or trade off pipes that they weren't really using that much. And keep in mind, this is the year 2000, and we're still, you know, when we're traveling, we're still looking for the local AOL number to disconnect the phone, the plug from the phone in the hotel room and find that local dial-up number. And so the internet really wasn't a prevalent way to distribute your hobby stuff. eBay, this is how long ago it is. If you wanted to sell a pipe on eBay, you had to take a photograph of it with a film camera and then go to the 1 hour photo, develop the film, take the picture, scan the picture and upload it to whatever photo hosting site that you had to be that you had to have an account with, and then link it through eBay. So it took about 2 hours of work just to get one listing up on eBay.
Man.
But the beautiful part is that every table would have ashtrays on it and everybody would be smoking and there'd be tobacco companies sampling stuff freely. New tobaccos coming out, old tobaccos just for sale at you might have 80, 90, maybe 100 tables at that Richmond pipe show of the entire spectrum, but it would be all pipes and tobaccos and fancy tampers and even funny looking flat hats and stuff.
There you go. Well, no, I got to imagine, especially because of the way in which the internet really changed the way in which a pipe enthusiast can engage with the community at large. I have to imagine in the earlier days of kind of these pipe shows, they were really more industry focused, but over time, to varying degrees, have kind of, you know, brought in kind of some more enthusiasts, more so than industry, not more so than industry people, but along with industry people. But what has been your experience there?
It's absolutely the opposite.
Really?
Earlier on, these were mainly collectors and hobbyists that were showing. It was more enthusiast based.
Wow.
And the occasional, you know, they might have a host retailer or two in the area that was, you know, that was kind of like the big table. And then you might get a distributor or so. But when I first went with Peter Stokeby, Lane Limited wasn't there at all. Sutliff or, you know, Altadis at that point, their pipe tobacco division wasn't there at all.
That's wild. It kind of reminds me of like the stories I've heard about the early days of like Comic-Con or something of that nature.
Exactly.
Yeah, where it was fans kind of coming together. It was a local community coming together, sharing comics and selling. You might have like the local comic shop or some of the others go for like a big, you know, selling kind of occasion. And now it is just a massive industry event where it's just, you know, things are being announced and it's part of like a larger marketing strategy overall. And on the one hand, it's got that, you know, that kind of feeling of like stamped brand of approval and kind of the money that's behind it. But on the other hand, you kind of lost something along the way in terms of that, you know, the grittiness of it, you know, like the actual fans. Yeah. Like the real enthusiasts that were kind of driving it from that standpoint.
Oh, there are stories of guys that would try to trade pipes with each other and those trades would go on. The attempted and the attempted trade and the negotiation for the trade of pipes would go on for years.
Wow.
Yeah. Each year they'd show up again with the same pipes and they go, well, are you sure you wanted this? And that? I'm not so sure, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then the culmination of the trade might take place multiple years later.
The ancient pipe trading ways. Man,
yeah.
That's awesome.
I saw the culmination of one of those. In like 2012 or 13, I saw a one pipe for one pipe trade that had been negotiated. It had been going on for like 4 or 5 years. And I saw the end moment of it.
Did they both walk away satisfied, or was it very much a begrudging type of trade?
You know how at the end of Rocky One, where both of them were just exhausted and ended up in the hospital?
Right.
But both of them were truly happy with the pipes that they ended up with.
Well, that's good. That's good, man. That's awesome. Well, you know, a pipe show can really be, I think, an amazing experience for fans and for enthusiasts to be a part of. If you had to kind of in your mind kind of set the table, not necessarily for the show that y'all are doing, but I think it's important because I feel like with the Las Vegas Pipe Show, you have a massive opportunity here where a lot of new people are going to be coming to a pipe show for the first time.
Yes.
And not trying to dunk on what's come before or anything like that. But if you could kind of paint the picture of like what we've come to expect from a pipe show, like what if you were to go to, and I won't name names, but if you were to go to any kind of large pipe show, what would that experience be like for the general enthusiast, not for the industry type?
For the general enthusiast, it is an overwhelming sensory overload of just, I've never seen this many pipes or pipe smokers or tobaccos in my life. That's it. You walk in and you are surrounded by hundreds of like-minded people. And most of us have never seen that before.
It's not your local mom and pop pipe shop where you go and you meet and you see the same like 5 to 10 folks every Thursday. It's like a massive like homecoming fan, family reunion type of setup where you just got tons of pipe smokers.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally, for me, I'll be the biggest reason I go to the pipe shows is because I've met so many people that I absolutely love to see and talk to in person. And then at the end of the weekend, I come back so energized about the hobby side of it, you know, because I've been on the industry side. I still hear from some industry people. I still hear all the, you know, somewhat depressing stuff. But then I go to a pipe show and I see other people that are passionate about what I love to do. And I just come back energized and hyped up. You know, I'm not a runner. My idea of running is, I don't have an idea of running anymore. Right. It's, hey, stop, wait, you know,
right.
But it's a runner's high afterwards. Hmm. And then, you know, I've said this before, and even before I took over a pipe show, I promoted getting the pipe shows heavily, because my pipe smoking technique, the pipes that I like, the tobaccos that I like, were all discovered at pipe shows. Because I got a chance to put my hands on them. I got a chance to see Frank Blues, who worked for Lane Limited for 20 something, 30 something years. I got a chance for him to explain how he tamps a bowl and how he creates a dome in the middle of the bowl.
You're sitting there with Yoda. I mean, like you're getting those lessons like right in person. No YouTube video. Yeah. This is happening right now with some of the greatest folks in the business.
Yeah, it's literally like, you know, you get a chance to see and talk and to other people and feel their, you know, gleam their knowledge. So yeah, it may cost you some money to go to the pipe show, but the amount of money that it's saved me on, you know, on buying pipes or buying tobaccos that weren't right for me.
Yeah.
Because I've gained their experience from talking to them and touching the pipes in the, you know, previously. It's so much fun. I can't.
Man. You know, you touched on something that I think is worth maybe even talking about later on down the line here. But so you know, we have also had the opportunity to have some conversations with some industry folks, and it's so frustrating from, especially at the time, because we were newer in the game and both really excited. John David, I think, was either about to buy a shop or getting ready to buy a shop. I think at that point
he was pre-completely crazy.
Right. He hadn't lost his mind. He hadn't had any kids yet. He was a normal human being with a full working brain.
He had short hair.
I can't attest to that, actually.
I saw it.
But yeah, man. So like thinking back to kind of those early days, as we were meeting with some of these industry folks, it was such a, what's the right word? I mean, like, it was like tailspin. It was like your head was spinning, because like you would talk to them and they would just be so depressed, and they would talk about the glory days and how like everything's terrible. I'm like, I mean, like we're talking to people who are super excited about the industry, and it's almost like, you know, being kind of that youngest child, you know, of an industry or something of that nature, where it's like, oh, well, you're not your brother, you know, like, or whatever it may be, where it's kind of like, okay, I get that it was, you know, we weren't here for how great it was back then, but we're here now, and we really appreciate this now, and we might appreciate it in a different way. The numbers might look differently, and I know that kind of sucks if you used to make a lot more money off of this. That's fair, but this is the new customer base. And so it's one of those interesting things where you talk about the value of the pipe show, and the reality is that especially for us newer pipe smokers, and you know, for the ones coming up, for, you know, a lot of like the modern day pipe smoker, like, yes, there's value on the tobacco and on the pipes themselves, but I think, and I could be wrong, but to me, the value really comes out of the experience overall. Like, and that's something that we have seen from the pipe shows that we've been to. The best ones are the ones that really, truly understand the value of an overall experience. Brian, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about how you are crafting that kind of extremely high value experience in Las Vegas.
How I decided to go crazy in Vegas.
We'll be right back. And of course, we're taking a quick break to talk about our sponsor for this week, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. You know, they've had their whole Back to Our Roots line going on right now. Great corncob pipes. And with the Back to Our Roots line, you can even release the Bracken, which is definitely one of my favorites out of the line. Has nothing to do with the name. I'm telling you, we're talking about quality craftsmanship behind every single product. But okay, it also has to do with the name. I'm not going to lie. It definitely does. But we love the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. They make some awesome products. And if you've not done so already, be sure to check them out at corncobpipe.com. They've got amazing merch there as well, so you can represent your love for the Missouri Meerschaum just like we do here at Country Squire Radio. And if you do, be sure to tweet out a picture of yourself enjoying one of the Back to Our Roots series or any of their amazing products. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's kick it back to my conversation with Brian Levine. All right, Brian, so we were just talking about you getting crazy in Vegas. Let's talk about the Las Vegas Pipe Show. So obviously you're the man of the hour. You are one of a highly select group of individuals who have taken over and basically crafted this new Las Vegas Pipe Show. Do you want to talk a bit about the history though before diving into what y'all are about to do?
So the West Coast Pipe Show goes back to Marty Pulvers of Sherlock's Haven in San Francisco, and Pulvers Prior Briars online now. Marty is in his late 70s, about to turn 80, something like that, but just a great guy and one of my favorite people. He had a West Coast Pipe Show and he had one in Vegas in the 80s, I believe, or in the 90s. And then Steve O'Neill wanted to partner, came back to Marty and said, let's do it again. And they did the first quote unquote West Coast pipe show in 2009. And the idea was just to create a place for, it was the only pipe show on the West Coast. All the other pipe shows were pretty much, way east of the Rockies and possibly east of the Mississippi. So you had Chicago and Richmond and Columbus. Those were the big three at that time. And then you had a couple others in Kansas City, St. Louis, New York, Rich Esserman. So Marty and Steve O'Neill really, along with Marty, wanted to start this show up. And they created a Saturday and a half day Sunday show that really turned into a get there on Thursday and start hanging out with your buddies and then go out to dinner every night. And it turned into, if you weren't there by Thursday, we used to say the people that showed up on Friday night were the latecomers. But they created that atmosphere because they had a hotel where you could smoke pretty much anywhere in the casino and in the bars, and they had a ton of smoking rooms. So there was a lot of camaraderie up in the rooms, a lot of quote unquote room hopping. And Steve and Marty ran that show with the idea that they wanted to just keep it as a regional pipe show, that was getting people coming from overseas and getting some people coming in from all around the country, but didn't really do much during the year to promote it except send out emails and post a few flyers here and there. 2019 was the last West Coast pipe show, and then we all know what happened in 20 and 21.
Yes,
21, they wanted certain commitments from the hotel that the hotel couldn't give, so they decided to hold off another year. And then they weren't sure if they were, at that point, they were getting older and weren't sure if they had the energy to try to revamp it or bring it back. And that's when Dave Peterson and I were on a Zoom pipe group with Marty. And Dave Peterson and I looked at each other, and I had had the thought in the back of my head for about 12, 13 years, that if the opportunity ever came up, why not? And so Dave and I winked at each other, had some private chats on the Zoom group. And
this is it. This is the one. This is the one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we both agreed that we would not do the show unless we had the blessings of Steve O'Neill and Marty Pulvers. We were not going to try to snake the date or slide in on I don't know what you kids call that, sliding in on the DMs. I understand that's something personal, but
right. You wanted to be respectful here and do everything on make sure there was a good ties to the legacy on how this was going to transition.
Yeah, respect the legacy of the West Coast Pipe Show, but also tell them, look, my idea, our idea is to change the name of it and to grow it, and we got their blessing.
That's amazing. That's huge. And I mean, props to them, because the fact of the matter is, I always talk about, I love to see innovation in this space, because it's historically, it does celebrate innovation, but I feel like when it comes to, sometimes you get kind of like locked into a couple of things, like, oh, this is the way we've always done things. I'm like, look at the history of pipe smoking. Look, dude, how many weird like bits and like attachments and shapes have been, like, don't say this is the way we've always done anything. This is an industry that's always been about innovation. And when it comes to these pipe shows, man, When you told John David and I about this, when this was kind of coming up and everything else, and you kind of shared with me some of your ideas, and John David and I got together, man, we were so excited, because it's apropos, man. We're living in a new age. We're living in kind of the post 2020, 2021 age, right? And there's an opportunity in so many different ways to kind of re-envision and reimagine kind of the way in which we do things. We see this with, a lot of people working from home now, in ways that they probably never would have prior to COVID. And it's kind of one of these situations where, you as somebody with not just that super industry knowledge, but with the connection with the people, with the connection with the fan community, the enthusiasts, and media, you have got such a great insight in every single angle about how a pipe show can be done and be done very well for this kind of new age of pipedom, so to speak. So I'm curious, man, this is a unique opportunity. What are some of, like, when you kind of thought about, like, okay, how would Brian Levine do a pipe show? What does Brian Levine want out of a pipe show? What is kind of that that grand vision?
What Brian Levine wants out of a pipe show is exactly
keep it clean. Now, hang on. Now, I should say keep it clean. I know this is in Vegas. All right. I'm just
kidding. What Brian Levine wants out of a pipe show, and here's what I want out of a pipe show that has to do with Las Vegas. Las Vegas is very smoking friendly. Other than that, it has nothing to do with Las Vegas. There will be no showgirls, no Elvis impersonators. Sorry, Bo. No, you can't. Yeah, if you want to, fine. But no.
Vegas, hey, Vegas after, I've still maintained that my trips to Vegas post-COVID, it's a very different city than it was before. It's much cleaner. You can walk the streets now and not get propositioned. It's not bad.
You can get a contact high while you're walking down the streets, though.
Well, I mean, that's everywhere now.
Yeah. But what I've always said about pipe shows is it's about the people. It's not about just coming and doing commerce. If you just want to do commerce, stay at home and get on your laptop or your mobile device or whatever and do commerce. You know, go to Country Squire online and buy something. Go to corncobpipe.com and buy something. How's that? You like that?
I like that. It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, do that. Just don't come to the show. But if you want to be around people, and every great memory that I have of a pipe show is focused around people, meeting the people, getting to know some of the other attendees, the exhibitors, making lifelong friends at pipe shows. You know, that's what it's about. The Las Vegas International Pipe Show was going to have the tagline of the social pipe smoking event of the year. But we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to try to piss off some other people. So we went with the tagline of a bowl full of memories.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's worth
it. And it's really about the people, because, you know, at the end of the day, the internet has made it so easy just to do cold commerce and create and get product delivered. What it hasn't been able to do is to deliver a handshake and share a laugh and share a drink with you in that same way. It hasn't been able to make you figure out a way to touch a pipe. And you and I both do podcasts where we try to reach those, you know, reach those people on a personal level.
Yeah.
But yet it's so much more different when we meet each other in person.
Oh, it's massive. Like, it's the tangible nature of, first of all, the tangible nature of the hobby, as you're just talking about, in terms of, like, you know, picking up a pipe, inspecting it, taking a look at it, talking to the person, like, right there who carved it or who worked on it or is representing the folks.
Smelling that tin of tobacco or that pouch of tobacco.
Yeah. But like you said, it's not just the pipes. It really is. It's the people. It's getting a chance to shake hands, to hear people's stories. You know, one of the things that John David and I, John David, especially, because obviously he's been to a lot more than I have, but it ends up being just this major source of fuel, getting to meet people and hearing their stories. And, you know, for him as kind of an industry person, especially this, as people have enjoyed his product, it really kind of speaks to him and kind of hearing what people like, what people don't like.
Yeah.
And so it's an amazing opportunity. And, you know, the friendships that you make, the people that you connect with, you know, what I love is that the art of pipe smoking, and it is an art, is something that, you know, transcends so much in terms of who you are, you know, what other interests you might have, where, you know, various, you know, religions and political parties and, you know, all these other things, this is where we're supposed to be all fractured. In many respects, the pipe is a wonderful opportunity to sit around that fire, the fire that's in your hand, and have conversations and get to know the person that is smoking the pipe. And as you say, man, like that's where this, especially these Vegas pipe, or not the Vegas pipe show, but it will be the Vegas pipe show. But, you know, all of these pipe shows really have the opportunity to bring people together from all over the world. And yes, it really is all over the world. Y'all got some, this is the international Las Vegas International Pipe Show. I mean, is it not?
We have confirmed attendees from Australia, two from South America, a couple from Europe, one at least from Japan.
I know somebody from even Mississippi that's coming. That's kind of like a far off land.
We're talking different, you just asked about different countries, now we're talking about different time frames
or different planets even. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, so then going back to your original thing, is the other thing that I was worried about with pipe shows, and I'm gonna upset some people, but I don't care. When Dave Peterson and I were looking at this, I realized that I'm the only person under the age of 70 that was going to be heading up one of the regularly occurring pipe shows.
That needs to be said, Brian. That needs to be said. I remember, yeah, the first time I went to my first ever pipe show. I won't say what it was, because it's a big one, but I remember meeting some of the folks behind it and talking to them, and I was like, oh, this needs to change. Like, there's a lot about this that needs to change if this is going to be the future.
A podcast? What channel is that on my radio?
Oh, dude. Okay. you know, you've been there. You know exactly what that's
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Now, so with that being said, I also realized that and I'll be honest with you and your listeners, and I don't lie because I don't have to. It is that, you know, a lot of these guys had no idea how to embrace the folks that are younger than me, right? 55 and under. So the Bo Yorks and the John David Coles, how do you embrace these people? And that's where I'm kind of in that gateway transitional between them, right? Because, you know, I understand, you know, podcasting. I mean, heck, you and I were doing podcasting when you know, you'd say, oh, I do a podcast, and people go, oh, that's really cool. And now it's like, oh, you do a pod. Now it's like, find somebody who doesn't do a podcast.
Oh yeah. Now, whenever I see like a commercial for like, oh, you know, check out the ESPN podcast, I like, whoever I'm sitting next to, I just ask, what's a podcast? Cause I heard that so much back in the day, whenever I talk about the podcast, it's like, oh, what's a podcast? Now it's like everywhere. I told people it would be anyway. So
yeah,
that's a different soapbox. We're talking about your thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the idea is that we, you know, Dave and I wanted to bring we want to make sure that there is a viable, functional, exciting pipe show going forward for the pipe show regular attendees and this newer group of pipe smokers that's just come in, and they've gotten into pipe smoking through Instagram and through YouTube and through podcasting, and they may not have a brick and mortar for 250 miles around them, nor they may have never been to a brick and mortar, but we wanted to create an environment where, yeah, they're welcome, and you know, and communicate to them in the levels that they're used to being communicated to.
And that's the thing, man. You've really opened up this show for a lot of the YouTube folks, some podcasters. Mm-hmm. You want to name drop a couple of people who people can look for seeing here?
Well, so if you go to vegaspipeshow.com, I also have created a website that for a pipe show is kind of revolutionary because it does stuff like list the current paid exhibitors. You can go online right now and see the people that have paid for a table or are sharing a table. The other thing that we're doing is what I'm calling the social media studio. And I couldn't come up with a better name than that because it's kind of a stupid name, but I came up with it.
Hey, man, I wasn't going to judge you for it. It's fine. It's fine.
You know, but what we're doing is we're providing free of charge to podcasters and YouTubers a place for them to sit down and on the show floor and record their show from, or do their show from, or live stream from. So right now in that social media studio, we have the Virtual Pipe Club. So David Dorian Ross has been doing a lot of he's been helping us a lot behind the scenes. We have the Steph and Skip Kane YouTube channel, the Houston Pipecast, which is part of the Houston Pipe Club, which is just right down the road from a certain Bo York.
Yeah, it's my neck of the woods.
Pipe Tobacco and Whiskey, Tom Kuhn is going to be doing a show. Mike Murphy and Jay Furman are doing the Pipe and Tamper podcast. And the one that I'm looking forward to the most is Shane Ireland from smokingpipes.com is going to record some of their mystery tobacco reviews live right there on the floor.
Oh, man.
And I guess he's also going to grab some volunteers from the audience to help with them. Young guys, Adam Floyd and Adam and Nick from the Get Piped podcast and the Flat Cap Piper and Lady Fire are going to record from the floor. And then the cherry on the sundae, the icing on the cake, the penultimate one is Country Squire Radio with John David Cole and Bo York are going to be recording on Saturday early evening.
That's right, man. We're closing out the show on Saturday and really excited to do so.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I like to think of it as all those amazing people who are doing incredible things in the pipe, especially the YouTube and podcast space. They're kind of opening for us all day. I'm just kidding, man.
Like, we got the closers.
You talk about like the tough act to follow. We got some amazing, amazing folks that are going to be going throughout the day, and we're just so excited to be part of it.
Yeah.
And
Mike Gluckler from Briar Blues. He's got a list of like 25 other YouTubers that have already confirmed that they're going to be at the show, and they're just going to be wandering around.
Oh man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And I'll just go ahead. I'm going to tease something right now, especially since John mm-hmm. David's not here, because he's not going. This is going to be a good surprise. Somebody, I was recently in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and somebody, I won't say who, provided me with something. I won't say what. But it has been something that I've been giving John David a hard time about, the fact that I have not received. And let's just say that a Pulp Fiction-esque suitcase, briefcase, will be involved in a delivery of a certain item to me in front of him, which I will smoke in his face. So it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
I know of a couple, maybe three or four other Doctors of Pipes industry legends that will be at the show just hanging out and walking around.
Yeah, there's going to be some big folks there. You're not going to want to miss it. So, Brian, where do people go to get everything together? Are there still tickets available?
There are still tickets available. There are not hotel rooms available because we oversold the hotel.
Choo! Yeah, man. Look, we... We did not jump on our hotel rooms fast enough, and I don't know what is going on that exact same weekend, but something else is going on in Vegas, and it is, you got to get your rooms now.
The last time show tickets, go to vegaspipeshow.com, look at all the information on there, the entire itinerary for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is on there listed. If you book your ticket by September 21st, maybe 22nd or 23rd, you will be entered into a drawing for one of two handmade pipe sets. There's a 4-pipe set and a 2-pipe set. So you go online, pay your ticket in advance. With that ticket, you get admission into the show for Friday. You get admission into the smoking lounge Friday night, the show all day Saturday, the smoking lounge till midnight on Saturday, and the show from 10 to 3 on Sunday. You also get we're giving everybody a drink ticket because the hotel requires us to do certain amount of commerce with them in food and beverage. You get a admission badge, which will be a limited edition dated one, and everybody's getting a free keepsake gift. So go online, do that, pay the $40 in advance. That way I know how many drink tickets and things to order. and you get entered into the drawing. Saturday night awards dinner. If you want to hang out, you want to try something that a lot of you haven't been able to do, come to the dinner on Saturday night. It's $60 for a buffet dinner. My wife and Dave's wife have picked out the food menus. So if you want to complain about the menus, feel free, because I'd like to watch that. Those of you who are married will understand. But this is a dinner where Nate King is going to talk about Nate King's going to do a presentation about his time in IndyCar racing and how it got him ready for making pipes. The show awards will happen. It's a buffet thing, and it's $60, and you can smoke your pipe in between courses. If you want to ash on your salad and eat it while you are smoking a pipe, you can eat and smoke at the same time. So,
not recommended. I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of salad, but
yeah. And then the room hopping, we've got seven or eight. We got three different hospitality suites up on the 14th floor of the Palace Station that will be open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at assorted times, depending on when those people will have them open. Room hopping will be going on, you know, on a random basis. It's literally, if you come to Vegas for the weekend, you have the opportunity of being surrounded by other pipe smokers for about 25 to 28 hours, talking pipes and seeing pipes and doing all that. Just go online to vegaspipeshow.com. Make sure and book your tickets in advance. Yeah, that way we know how many are coming. Last time I checked, which was a couple days ago, depending on when this comes out, the Rio All Suites Hotel was the closest decent rate for a hotel room. Yeah, we sold 50% more rooms at the Palace Station than the show did in 2019.
How about that? Already doubling down, man. I think it's going to continue to grow, and hopefully folks will be getting their rooms. If I'm remembering correctly, I think me and John David are at Planet Hollywood. So I was like, well, if we're going to go to Vegas, I want to be on the Strip. So,
yeah, and that's the other thing about Vegas is it's a $15, $10 Uber Lyft from most places on the Strip to the Palace Station.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're good. So one way or the other, it's going to be a lot of fun. We might we're hoping to do a Country Squire Radio meetup of some sorts. We've just been trying to kind of debate amongst ourselves the best way to do it. I think it'd be awesome to do like a lunch across the Strip or something like that. So we'll have to figure out what makes the most sense. But anyway, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing for the pipe community, for the industry, but especially for those enthusiasts with this show. We hope it is going to be a massive success. We're looking forward to being a part of it. And we're really excited for everybody from the pipe community, especially in kind of the fan pipe community and the media side of things that are coming out and making some great content there. We just want to support you in every way we possibly can, man. Thank you, brother.
That's the beauty of this hobby, is that it transcends into the podcast and the media world, where, you know, we all support each other. And if you smoke a pipe and you smoke tobacco in it, you're a friend of mine.
All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See ya.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.